something a little bit different this morning in that I don't have paper notes. This is the first time I've done this. And so if my little Surface Pad bombs out on me, I'm going to do some ad-libbing, and this service is going to go really long. I'm kidding. Don't get scared. But I'd like you to take your Bibles and go with me, please, to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. We're going to look this morning at God's possible purpose for allowing a radical to govern. Do you see how that fits with what's going on? God's possible purpose for allowing a radical to govern. In other words, God's purpose in the appointment of wicked rulers. You know that in the book of Exodus, the plagues are taking place in the first part of this book. God is trying to get the attention of Pharaoh. He's trying to get the attention of the Egyptians. He's trying to get the attention of his own people. And so there's a progression of God's blows upon the disobedient as you go through the plagues, the 10 plagues that are given. The disobedient are those who refuse to hear God's word. And by the way, folks, God will get your attention. There is all kinds of things that he can do in your life and in my life to get our attention. And even saying that one phrase there is a variation of the theme of the book of Exodus. The thing being, they shall know that I am God. God will get your attention. Here's a little bit of review as you go through the book of Exodus. There's the blows or the plagues of discomfort, the water turning to blood, the frogs that just cover the land of Egypt, the lice and then the flies. All of those are plagues of simple discomfort. Pharaoh refuses to give in and let the people of Israel go. So the next plagues are blows of destruction. So we go from discomfort to destruction. Their cattle are diseased. Boils upon men. What we're going to look at this morning, hail. So large falls from heaven that both man and beast, anyone who's in the field, is killed. Locusts destroy the land. Darkness, and then finally, the firstborn children are taken. As I think about those blows and how they go from discomfort to destruction, I see that God is very patient. And he's very patient with us. And folks, we never want to get to the place where we experience the 10th blow, which is the destruction of the firstborn. That's the knockout blow. That's the blow that finally Pharaoh says, go. And he doesn't relent. Here we are in chapter 9 and verses 1 through 7. We're not going to read those verses, but you're going to see the loss of wealth. There's the disease upon the cattle. But you'll see in this blow in verse 7 of chapter 9 that for the first time it is expressly stated that Jehovah, God, does the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. That is not said prior to this. In fact, jumped up to verse 32 of the previous chapter where it says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. That's been the pattern up to this point. Pharaoh has been hardening his heart. Hey, what happens when men harden their hearts? Then it comes to the point where God hardens your heart. And that's exactly what takes place. You'll see in verse 7 of chapter 9, at the last part of the verse, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. It's in the passive. In other words, Pharaoh is not now hardening his heart. It has been hardened. And then, not only the loss of wealth, verses 1 through 7, but now the loss of health, verses 8 to 12. There's boils upon man and beast. And then you'll notice in verse 12, who hardens the heart of Pharaoh now? And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. But then we get to what I want to get to this morning, and that is the loss of life due to the gigantic hailstones. Let's read verses 13 and following. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. There's the theme of the book of Exodus. Again, as we have seen on Sunday nights, they're going to know who I am. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. Now, verse 16 is going to be the text. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. And then here's the comment that's given. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Loss of life. God has now given them warning. It's the same message as before. Moses has not changed his demand. Let my people go. Let God's people go. Same message. The demand has not changed. You know, it's kind of interesting that God has Moses continue with the same message. We say today, well, if the message doesn't work, we need to change the message. If people won't listen to our message, let's change it. Maybe we're being a little bit too harsh. Maybe we're being a little bit too negative. Let's change the message. By the way, Moses' message was negative throughout. Let God's people go or else. I think it's interesting how God told Ezekiel before he sent him to minister to his people, to warn his people. He said this, whether they will listen to me or no, I still want you to go and tell them. For example, Ezekiel 2:5 says, And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, and it says in parentheses, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. Later on in chapter 2, verse 7, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Again in chapter 3 and verse 11, and go and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. In other words, you tell them. And listen, Ezekiel, I don't care if they listen or not. You tell them the message. Now, we live in a day today, folks, where people are not listening. They have been warned time and time again. In fact, there may be some here this morning. You've been warned time and time again. And you refuse to listen. What does God use? He may not have plagues like we see in the book of Exodus come upon people, but God uses circumstances, God uses preachers, God uses parents, he uses teachers, he uses preachers, he uses prophets to warn people. Our job is not to get results, but our job is to faithfully proclaim, thus saith the Lord. And the warning is that the coming blows are going to strike even at your heart, Pharaoh. Look at verse 14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart. In other words, it's not just going to be physical terrors, it's going to be mental terrors that affect even the heart. And you'll notice there in verse 14 that the word plagues is plural. In other words, it's not just this seventh plague, but those yet to come after this seventh plague that God is going to use upon him and upon his servants to make them know something, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. Contrasting Pharaoh's gods with Jehovah, the true God. Look at verse 15. We've read it already, but it has the sense of a conditional clause. Let me read it this way. Follow along in verse 15. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would have then been cut off from the earth. You see, up to this point, God could have slain men, but he did not, so that they would discern his power and glorify him. And now it is as if God is saying to Pharaoh, you are a dead man, but I have a plan on how I'm going to use you. And that leads us up to verse 16. For this cause have I raised thee up. Folks, that does not mean for this cause I have brought you into existence. It does not mean for this cause I've allowed you to be born. It literally has the idea that for this cause, I have allowed you to continue. Now understand something. This is the seventh plague. Why didn't he do something after the very first plague when the water was turned into blood? He hardened his heart. Why didn't he do something? Why didn't he respond after the second and the third and the fourth? The frog, the lice, and the flies, things that were horrible. God just allowed him to continue. Why didn't God just strike him out? God allowed him to continue, and that's what he's saying there in verse 16. And for this very cause, have I allowed thee to continue? That phrase, have raised thee up, has that sense. I've still allowed you to be up. I've still allowed you to be in power when God could have struck him down. In other words, here is why you are still alive, Pharaoh. Here's why God hasn't just blown you away. Isn't that the way you would like to see things done sometimes? Why doesn't God just take the wicked and just wipe them out? Well, there's a couple of things here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Pharaoh has every opportunity with a long-suffering God. But there's a second reason. That's the reason we're looking at this morning. God's going to demonstrate his power with a wicked man in charge. God is going to show his power. Now, it's interesting that this is quoted in the New Testament. Here, Exodus 9:16. And you can go to the chapter 9 of another book in the New Testament. It's Romans. Would you go to Romans chapter 9? And notice that Paul is making an argument based upon what you read there in Exodus chapter 9. From Exodus 9, we go to Romans 9. And in Romans chapter 9 and verse 17, we read this. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh. Isn't that interesting that the Bible speaks specifically to a man? For the scripture saith to, and let's just put any ruler in there today. For the scripture saith to President Xi of China. For the scripture saith to Putin of Russia. For the scripture saith to what's his face in Canada, I forget his name. For the scripture saith to President Trump. For the scripture saith to who he thinks he is, the president-elect Biden. The scripture speaks to rulers. Paul goes on. Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. Here's why I have allowed you to continue, Pharaoh. Here it is again. That I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Commentator said this, it should be borne in mind that a person may be said to be raised up who is preserved alive when in danger of dying. And the Bible says to show in thee my power, so that Pharaoh would witness the power of God. Folks, the world is about to witness the power of God. And thus have to give him glory. And that's what Pharaoh had to do. Get to the 10th blow. And what takes place with the 10th blow? Go! Get out of my land. And then he recognizes God. That this has been the hand of God. And it says there at the last part of verse 16 of chapter 9 of Exodus that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. You know, when Hezekiah was king and Jerusalem was surrounded by the enemy, Hezekiah says this in Isaiah 37, 20, now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that is from Sennacherib, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. I think you'll find it interesting in the Old Testament that when men were in danger, when nations were in danger, that those Christians, those people of God, I'm talking about the people of God in the Old Testament, Christians in the New Testament, that when they would pray, here's what they would pray. And this is scriptural praying, folks. O Lord, save us, that all the kingdoms may know that you are God. Not because of what we want, but Lord, that they may know that you are God. That is praying scripturally. We know this from archaeology, that the pharaohs would only record victories. They would never record defeats. If you go and if you knew how to read the hieroglyphics and so forth in Egypt today, it's all victory, 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 never the defeats. And so you never read anything about what happened in Egypt as recorded in the book of Exodus. That would make the pharaohs look bad. In other words, they were kind of rewriting history a little bit. Does that sound familiar? You know, the 1619 project that America was founded by a bunch of racists and so, you know, you rewrite history. If the narrative doesn't fit what we want it to say, rewrite it. Well, that's the Egyptians. Rewrite history. So it makes the pharaohs look good. Nothing's mentioned. Wouldn't you think that if there was something as major as these plagues that came upon the land, especially the last one where the firstborn were all wiped out, including Pharaoh's oldest, that we would know something about that? But no. There's no monuments to this account. And yet, the Egyptians, including the pharaohs, were not able to cover up this story to keep it from spreading. I want you to see how this story spread. Fake news was there then too. Go to chapter 15 of Exodus. Chapter 15. Verses 14 and 16, they had already come through the Red Sea. God has defeated the Egyptians there at the Red Sea. Exodus 15, verse 14, the people shall hear and be afraid. These are the children of Israel, God's people singing. Sorrow shall take upon all the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling shall take hold upon them. And all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Go to chapter 2 of Joshua. And there's this young lady who is saved. Her name is Rahab, Joshua chapter 2. Notice what she says when the spies come in to spy on the land. Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. And what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. As much as the Egyptians tried to squelch what had happened, it's out, so that even when the children of Israel get to the land of Canaan, the news has already gone before. And they know what's going to happen. And I could go on. The Gibeonites in Joshua chapter 9, verse 9, they say, "We heard what God did to you. We heard what God helped you and how he destroyed those." The Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 8, they've all heard this story. The Egyptians tried to squelch it. The Pharaohs would not have it put upon the monuments. Only victories, no defeats. Even today, we read of it in history, in spite of those who tried to squelch the story. So again, Paul quotes this very verse in Romans 9:17, where he says, "The scripture saith." Romans 9:17, folks, refutes the accusation of some that God is not fair. Go back to Romans 9. I want you to see this. Romans 9 again. What shall we say then? This is Romans 9:14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God unfair? Paul's making an argument here, and he's going to get to verse 17 where he quotes Exodus. He says, is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid, literally, may it never be. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith even unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. God will do what he so desires. You say, well, how's that comforting, Pastor? Because he knows what's good, and we don't. I'll say more about that tonight. God will do what he so desires to accomplish his will in the lives of those like Rahab, who humbled herself. Wicked men, in their arrogance, think they are so great to have attained their position. Whether ethically or not, they think they're so great. I've got one word. Fools. Fools. What a fool to think that they are in their position because they're so great. God is using them for his glory. What was the emperor's name, Japanese emperor, World War II, Hirohito? He thought he was God to all the people. Look at the position. Look how he was brought so low. And what happened as a result of that defeat, the gospel is now in Japan. Our missionaries at the Thompsons, right there. Chairman Mao in China thought he was so powerful, killed millions of people. Now there's a wonderful underground church there, numbering in the millions, we believe. It's yet to be seen how God will use modern day pharaohs. It's yet to be seen how God is going to use a George Soros for his glory. It's yet to be seen how God is going to use what Obama did in this nation. It's yet to be seen how God is going to use the dictator of North Korea. And it's yet to be seen how God, if he gets in, how God would use somebody as wicked and revulsive as Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. It's yet to be seen. They think that they're powerful. They think that they're really something. Ha. You are simply under God's control, and you can't do anything without his permission. Pharaoh, you think you're something, don't you? They think that their continued existence, they think that their exalted position is an endorsement by God or proof that what they are doing is right. If that were true, men like Hitler, men like Mussolini, Stalin, go down the list. Just because they had power for a little while. Fools. And people who hear those who preach the judgment of God and do not immediately get wiped out, they mock them. Not only may God be giving them an opportunity to repent, but God is allowing them to continue. That is, he has raised them up from an otherwise certain death to show in them his power that his name might be declared throughout all the earth. Now, the warning that we're talking about here includes, in verse 17, a question about how Pharaoh dares, how he dares to treat God's people. Verse 17 of Exodus 9, as yet exaltest thou thyself against my people that thou wilt not let them go. Now, the church is not Israel, and Israel is not the church, but Israel is God's people, and the church is God's people. And some of the principles you find in the Old Testament on how God protected his people, you can take and apply that to the New Testament church. And God could say today, you exalt yourself against my church, my people? That you will treat them the way you do? It may seem as if the wicked men run roughshod over God's people. Let me tell you something, folks, it does not go unnoticed. There is a God in heaven who sees everything that's taking place. Yea, is in charge of everything that takes place. I want to close with verses 18 and 19. Again, verse 18. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Folks, God in his mercy is warning the people of Egypt. He is warning the people. For the first time, they're given warning. And they have the opportunity to separate themselves by their actions from their leader, Pharaoh, and demonstrate that they want no part in his rebellion. I'm going to be blunt with you. Everybody who voted for that Democrat Party, wicked, vile, revulsive, abortion-promoting, homosexual defending. Everything, you go to their platform and it is so anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Christ. Everybody who supported that, voted for that. You're in league with them. And you had better separate yourselves from them. Because that which has been warned about the Pharaoh is coming upon the people. But isn't God good in saying, now you need to, I'll let you go if you separate yourself from him. And that's what you see there in verse 18. God is warning the people of Egypt. Because those who are complicit in his evil are those who have put him into power to make the application to today. And there's two responses, and you see these responses in verses 20 and 21. Here's the warning again in verse 19. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. Now you've got two responses. Look at it in verse 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. Now what, folks, listen, these are the servants of Pharaoh. These are the people who are under his command directly. And there were some of them who said, we want nothing to do with you. And they obeyed. And they brought their things in from the field. They brought in their families. They brought in their cattle from the field because they believed the word of the Lord. But then you've got those in verse 21 who regarded not the word of the Lord. They left their servants and their cattle in the field. After all they've seen, they still do not believe. Their hearts are just as hard as Pharaoh's. Their hearts are just as hard as Biden's. And God deals with them. All of this is a warning to Pharaoh. So how do we conclude this? We don't just back off and do nothing, especially in this country where you have every right to do something still. But while we are doing what we do it so prayerfully, but we trust in God that He is going to have things work out according to His will. You see, Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3 says that men think that God is not going to do anything. That because nothing happens immediately, that they're okay. It says in Nahum 1 and 3 that God will not at all acquit the wicked. Just because he hasn't acted right away. I praise God that he is long-suffering. He was to you and to me. That's why we're even here. That's why we're even able to know Christ as our Savior. That there may be someone here this morning who knows not Christ. You are, as Jesus said in John, you are yet in your sins. And if something were to happen to you where you would die in your sins, the Bible says, in fact, Jesus himself says, you will wake up in hell. But he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And whosoever believeth on me shall have everlasting life. For the first time, these Egyptians are given warning, and they have the opportunity to separate themselves by action from their leader and demonstrate that they want no part in his rebellion. I find it interesting, they really had no choice in what Pharaoh did. They have no choice. He's a dictator. Americans have a choice in who they put in power. And that's why I say so strongly, folks, people who vote wickedness into power are complicit in that evil. They are not our enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those mentioned in verse 20, they had seen the acts of God. They believed. And so can you. Would you bow your heads? With your heads